At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas has styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's time to turn your garden into a smart garden on News Radio 830 WCCO. Smart Gardens, an hour of expert advice and answers to all of your lawn and gardening questions. You can call 989-9226 or text us at 81807. Now, here's Denny Law with this week's Smart Garden.
Brought to us by our good friends at By the Yard Outdoor Furniture. Good morning. Welcome to CCO's Smart Garden Show, our lawn and garden show. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney is with us today. Good to see you again.
Good to see you.
I haven't seen you for a while.
I know, yeah. I've been slacking off.
Was it something we said?
No.
Okay. Just wondering. Anyway, welcome back. Teresa helps us out from time to time here, helps you out. If you do have any kind of lawn or garden question, you want to chat with Teresa right now. Either give us a call or send a text. Here's the phone number. We've cleared the lines. 651-989-9226. Or send a text to Teresa, 81807. 81807. Well, we've heard that forecast. It's going to be near 90 today.
That's crazy.
And are there any now, what would you do with your own lawn and garden at home now with this hot weather? Is there anything you have to do to help it along?
I make sure things stay watered. So I've got some things I haven't planted yet that I've noticed they need watering. So I'll have to water those today. And if you are, it would be a great time to treat weeds in the lawn, but it's too hot. You need to read the label of the product you're using, and a lot of them will say don't use it if it's over 85 or windy. A lot of times, the chemicals volatilize, and they just float up in the air. So while you're putting down is sticker agents, or the chemicals don't work as well, or something happens to them. So you have to read the label.
Always.
So this may be the only weekend you can put down maybe you're going to spray for weeds, but it's too hot maybe.
Yeah.
So then you just can't do it because you're going against the law, the label. The label is the law.
So, and again, well, it's a moot point, especially if we get some thunderstorms, I guess.
Exactly.
You won't have to worry about
it. And then you'd want to make sure, okay, are we going to get thunderstorms?
Yeah.
And is it rain safe after 2 hours, 6 hours,
that's
8 hours?
That's a good point.
So you do have to read those labels. It's the labels are there for a reason.
They are.
And so it's really important because no use spending your time and wasting your time and energy and your money on products that aren't going to work.
You know, one thing we do mention from time to time, Teresa, as you know, is the University of Minnesota website.
Yes.
That's just a fun place. Even if you have a small garden or, one pot on your deck.
You can learn so much. You can spend hours there. You know,
so what is the site?
It's extension.umn.edu. And I'd like to just throw a plug in now. We have Hennepin County is having our annual garden tour on July 8th. And it's our 10th anniversary. So we're doing it up really big. We have eight gardens created by master gardeners, maintained by master gardeners. And I believe at one garden, we're going to have a little potting shed. So you could buy gifts there, gardening gifts and books. And I think at another garden, we may have some food trucks. So you can really make a day of it.
You can
buy your tickets early so you can get a deal on tickets. And it's a great way to spend a day. It's a self-guided tour and see some gardens. And we have learning stations at all the gardens.
So it's next month.
It's July 8th.
July 8th. Mm-hmm.
So buy your tickets early, and then you can go and spend the day. And we'll have learning stations at the gardens. We'll have lots of master gardeners there. And we'll have where you can actually learn special things, like maybe rain gardens or edible gardens or whatever kind of situation is going on.
Where do we find out more info? Where do we buy the tickets?
I would go to the Hennepin County Master Gardener website.
Okay.
And then just click on the garden tour, and it'll bring you right over there.
Hennepin County
Master Gardener.
Master Gardener program.
So I wanted to throw that out there.
Well, great. Yeah. Let's remind folks before you leave us today about that very thing.
Sounds and like one other time. Thing, if you're really into native plants, there's a landscape revival going on starting at 9 o'clock. All the native plant, or many of the native plant growers outstate, bring all their plants in, and you can buy it here in the Twin Cities.
All right.
It's over 1201 Larpenteur in the Cub Pavilion. So you can buy a whole bunch of native plants if you need to bulk up your rain gardens or your prairies or anything like that. So you don't have to travel, 300 miles to get them.
What a great idea.
Yeah, so it's great.
Outstanding.
Lots of stuff going on.
Good deal. Well, let's put you back to work now,
Excellent.
Teresa.
Let's go for it.
Don is calling from Elysian. Don, you're on with Teresa. Good morning.
Hey, Don.
Good morning, Teresa. See, I have four mature apricot trees. They leafed out, blossomed, and what they normally do, but all of a sudden they've dropped, probably 75% of the leaves.
Yep, of the leaves.
And the only leaves I have are toward the ends of the branches.
Oh, dear. Okay, I thought you were going to say fruit for a moment, and that's normal. Mine are dropping fruit like normal always. Oh, dear. They're mature, 10 years old, 15 years old, 20 years old.
Over 10.
Over 10, okay. Did anything change, any construction in that area?
No, not at all.
And they've been healthy other years?
But they haven't been pruned for quite some time. So
okay. Well, a pruning probably would help next late winter, early spring before they leaf out. I'm not really sure what stress would cause them to do that. I would, first of all, look at the trunks of the trees to make sure nothing has gotten in there, that there's no big frost cracks or damage or anything like that. Are they still holding some of their fruit? Is the fruit still being held, or did they drop those too?
No fruit at all.
No fruit at all. Okay. Well, it depends. You may have had a late frost, or there may not have been pollinators, but it does sound like they're stressed. This is a member of the Prunus family, and those trees are really susceptible to a lot of insects and a lot of diseases. I would probably go to the Extension website, extension.umn.edu, and check and see if they've got anything. And you may even want to have a tree care person, a certified arborist, come out and look at the trees, especially if all four of them are doing this.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of suspicious.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, yeah. And good luck. I can't tell you right away what it is, but it sounds...
Certified arborist is good.
Certified
move.
Arborist would be good, yeah. Mm-hmm. Good luck.
Good luck, Don. Gerald is calling from Bloomington with a question. Good morning, Gerald.
Good morning, Gerald.
Good morning. Thank you for all your help on the show.
You bet.
My wife and I have lived in our home for 30 years. We have a beautiful flowering crabapple tree right outside our living room window that just dominates the entire backyard.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And just like the sun rising in the morning, every spring, the last week in May or the first week in June, it develops these beautiful pink petals, and then they fall, and it's very, very beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
This year, we have not had one petal or bud the entire spring. The tree is healthy.
Mm-hmm.
It had a number of crab apples last year and so forth that the birds ate over the winter and so forth. So it's been healthy for the last two or three years, very healthy, and just not one.
Yeah, I'd like to also mention, this may help the previous caller too. This winter, we didn't have much of a snow cover. And so we did have a warm period where things started coming out of dormancy, and then they got hit by some cold weather again. We, as master gardeners, have noticed a lot of our perennials died for no reason, things that were really established for a long time. And some of the trees really were hit hard. I've seen a lot of trees with bare limbs. So I'm thinking it's a stressor. Something happened over the winter that just stressed that tree. It should be okay. It should have hopefully enough health to come back fine next year. Just don't do anything to damage it this year. No wounding of the branches or the bark or anything like that. Try to treat all your trees as gently as you possibly can this year. If we go droughty, do give them a drink of water. Even if they're mature trees, they can use all the water you can give them if we're droughty. If it gets overwatered, there's not much you can do about that. Mother Nature does what Mother Nature does. And just hope that we get a nicer winter next year with a little more snow cover.
It's important, isn't it, that snow cover?
It really is. You know, I mean, if we would just stay one temperature, it's fine. But it's that the warming up and then the sudden cold, the plants just can't handle that.
Yep. Yeah. Teresa, we have to take a quick break. We'll do that. We'll come back with some text messages and more phone calls here on our Smart Garden Show on 830 WCCO.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show. In studio with me is Master Gardener Teresa Rooney helping you out. Teresa, we've got filled lines and a whole lot of text messages.
All right.
In fact, let's pick up a text that came in real early the
sure.
part of the
mm-hmm.
show. What's the best way to get rid of unwanted cattails from my pond?
Oh, well, first of all, make sure you contact the DNR and that it's allowed to do it.
Uh-huh.
I think anytime you're moving anything out of the water, you have to contact DNR, even if it's on your property. And there are some chemicals that you can use in the water that are safe for that, and they would be able to direct them to that information.
Check the DNR.
Check the DNR, yeah.
Okay. Need to put a tree in the front yard, texter says, looking at red maple. Is now a good time or wait till fall?
Oh, you could do it any time. And can I suggest some other trees? Maybe maybe a Kentucky coffee tree, depending upon what area. We have so many maples. Remember, we had a lot of chestnut trees and then they got bore. Then we had elm trees and now we're having ash tree problems.
Yes.
We've got a huge population of maples. So I understand that people love their red maples, but if we can diversify, would be nice too. Anyway, you can do it now. I would do it sooner rather than later or wait till the fall. You don't really want to put a tree in the middle of summer when it's so hot. It's stressful on
Good
you
point.
And the tree.
Texter says this, and we'll get back to the phones. My Stella daylilies do not have any buds yet. Is it getting too late for flowers to bloom?
Oh, they'll be fine.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay. Another one says, can I use the same trellis type for peas, cucumbers, and indeterminate tomatoes?
It depends. You know, if you're doing the tomatoes, they're going to need a heavier trellis. Peas really can use a really light trellis. They can use a heavy trellis, too. So make sure that it can handle the tomatoes. Everything else will be fine.
Okay. Back to the phones we go. Larry is calling from Monticello. Larry, you're on with Teresa.
Hey, Larry.
Hi. How to get rid of mushrooms in the lawn?
Okay, that's a really good question. I always love when I see mushrooms. That means something's happening underground and composting and decaying is happening underground. There's really nothing you need to do except knock them over if you don't like them. They're not telling you that there's a problem underground. They're just telling you something's being decayed underground. Here's the fruiting body showing you I did some work. So if you don't like the look of mushrooms in your yard, just knock them over. That's all you got to do. Yep.
All right, good.
And just thank your mushrooms that they're doing the decomposition underground and keeping your soil nice and healthy.
Good. Let's go to Downing, Wisconsin. I think Bob is waiting to ask a question. Go ahead, Bob. Good morning.
Hi. I planted an apple tree about 5 years ago. I haven't had any buds on it yet.
Oh.
I got the crab apple tree pretty close to it. I don't know if you have to have something else.
Or... Nope. You're doing everything right. Do you know what size of tree was it? A dwarf, a semi-dwarf, or a full-grown tree?
I think full-grown.
Full-grown. Okay. Depending on the rootstock, so this is a full-grown tree, your dwarf trees normally mature in 3 to 5 years. Your semi-dwarfs in 5 to 7. Your mature trees can take up to 10 years to get old enough or mature enough to have fruit and flowers. So,
oh, really?
Yep. So because you're going to get a really big tree, it just takes a really long time to get mature enough. So right now it's just growing roots. Just keep it healthy as you can. Make sure it's not stressed. It's growing roots, which are the most important part of any plant. And in, 7 to 10 years, you'll start to see some flowering on it. And the crabapple will pollinate it. You can always top dress with a little 10-10-10 early in the season. But, trees, they need to, they're like when you're kicking the kids out of the nest, they need to go out and be on their own and you can't baby them too much. You don't want to be a helicopter gardener. So you want to kind of just let the roots go out and find their own nutrition. But do water if it does get droughty.
All right. Very good. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks.
Let's go to Egan. I think Al has been waiting there. Thanks, Al. What is your question?
Hi, Al.
Hi. We bought a hibiscus plant with a lot of buds on it.
in anticipation of seeing some blooms shortly. Mm-hmm. Well, we put it out on the patio, and we watered it frequently. Mm-hmm. And within about a week, they started, the buds just stopped developing and just fell off.
Yep. We've had a lot of chilly weather. We've had a lot of overcast weather. It went from a really nice greenhouse to kind of a tougher situation outside. Now it has to deal with some clouds and some wind and some rain. It'll be fine. Just keep watering it. If it's still actively growing, I'm sure it is. And the leaves look nice and healthy. Fertilize as normal. It will set flower buds, and you'll just have later flowers. Sometimes when you're moving plants with a lot of flower buds, they do tend to drop the buds as a stress response. But the plant itself will be fine. It's just going to have to grow new buds, and I'm sorry about that.
Okay. Off to Forest Lake we go. Rob has been waiting there. Rob, you're on with Teresa.
Hey, Rob.
Yeah. Hi, Teresa. I've got a low-hanging branch into my neighbor's yard. I think it's a burl oak. Can I nip that off to get it out of their way?
Oh, it's one of the worst times of the year to do it. If you have to, however, you're going to, as soon as you cut the branch, and do go online. It sounds like it's a bigger branch, so do go online to do a three-part cut, where you break the bark underneath, then you cut off the weight, and then you cut right at the branch collar. And there's pictures on the extension side how to do that. And then within 15 minutes, you're going to have to cover that wound. And you're going to have to use a paint or something to cover that wound, and because you don't want it to get oak wilt. So if you have to trim a branch of oak, elm, ash, birch this time of year, you've got to cover it.
Yeah.
Yeah, good luck.
Good point. Teresa, we have to take a break, but we have got a whole another half hour of the show to go, so don't go away. Those on the phone, hang on, and texters, we're going to pick up on more text messages as well. And welcome back to CCO Smart Garden Show, brought to us by By the Yard Outdoor Furniture. 77 degrees, Teresa. 77 already.
Hot.
Heading for close to 90 today. We're in the midst, as he said, of our Lawn and Garden Show, welcoming your phone calls and text messages. And we have a bunch of those. So let's get. And by the way, let's do that website again for the U of M.
Extension.umn.edu. So if we can't get to you, go there.
Very good. Who has been waiting here? It's Darla in Plymouth. Darla, you're on CCO with Teresa.
Hi, Darla.
Hi, good morning. I'm calling because I have some global arborvitas, and they're quite old, 25 years old. And three of them this year, after they've been pruned last year, they look dead. There's no greenery on them.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, can they just be cut down at the base? They're in a rock garden area.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need them.
Yep. Go ahead and just cut them down. You don't have to take out the roots if you don't want to. The roots will just decompose. If you want to put in some other little shrubs, you can do that a little bit away from where they were.
Okay. Very good. Texter says this, and we'll get back to the phones. Is it okay to use my yard irrigation heads to hit my vegetable garden?
It is, but you really...
You could end up, what, splashing?
You can get a lot of splashing and a lot of fungal diseases. It's not the best thing to do. If that's the only way you can get your veggie garden watered, that's okay. It would be better to use a soaker hose or something that can just hit the soil and not get the leaves wet.
Okay. Better choice.
Yeah.
All right, let's go back to the phones, Teresa. Bev is calling from Spring Lake Park. Good morning, Bev.
Hey, Bev.
Hi, I'm asking you a question about ash leaves. Should the mature ones be falling already? I had them fall once already for the last 2 weeks. Not stopped.
No, they really shouldn't. Are they? Is it just the leaves, or is it little branches?
No, it's the leaves.
Just the leaves. I would probably have someone look at your tree. How does the tree look when you stand back from it? Does it look healthy, or does it look getting a little bare?
It looks really healthy.
Looks really healthy.
Trimmed last year, and he said this is a very healthy tree.
Okay,
so.
Then I probably wouldn't worry. It could just, for some reason, leaves are dropping. I would just maybe keep an eye on it, though. That's not a sign of the emerald ash borer, just leaves dropping like that, so that's okay to not worry about that. That's not like a major sign of it. I would just keep an eye on it, expect some leaves maybe to drop, and then if it keeps up and starts looking a little tattered, then I'd probably call someone to have our certified arborist to look at it.
Good idea. Sure losing a lot of ash trees, though, aren't we?
Yep. Wow. Yeah, yeah. And a lot of just being taken down.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Indeed.
It's tough.
Off we go to Ham Lake. Leah is there. Leah, you're on CCO with Teresa.
Hi, Leah.
Hi there. We have plenty of hostas in our yard that are looking very healthy this time of the year. And as the summer progresses, they tend to have some sort of pest that nibbles on the leaves. Mm-hmm. Is there a way to remedy that?
There is. First of all, you need to find out what pest it is. So I would start looking now for small slugs. Put out some boards in the evening, lift them up in the morning, and you'll find small slugs underneath. If that's what you're seeing is small slugs, they usually leave slime trails. You want to get them early because they lay a lot of eggs and the numbers increase exponentially. Iron phosphate, something like Sluggo or Escargot works very well. It's just simple iron phosphate. It won't hurt pets or animals or birds. If it's not that, if it's beetles or something else, as long as the hostas are still healthy and the leaves aren't perfect, but, you know, 50% of the leaf is still left, the hostas really are fine. And it's more just a cosmetic problem that you're seeing. But you do need to find out what insect is causing it, and then you can go from there. And then if it's not slugs, then I go to the Extension website and see what you can do with the various other insects if you want to put down an insecticide. It's always, you can do that, but you do need to make sure you're applying it correctly and hitting the right insects.
Teresa, do some people still use beer for slugs?
They do, and it does work. They like that yeasty smell, and they fall into it. It's just then you have to, you know, the dog drinks the beer, the slug beer, and then comes up and kisses you. It's kind of gross. So, but yeah, beer works. Yeah, there's little slug baits you can get too.
All right.
It might just be easier to put that just phosphate wondering. Down there. Yeah, but they still do. It works. Use your cheap beer. Don't use your good
not the good
brew
stuff.
Pub beer. No. Mm-mm.
Texter says this: do I have to cut off the powdery mildew on my 9 bark, or is it okay to leave it on?
You can leave it. It stresses the plant a little bit. You know, if you can lighten up that area a little bit, get a little more air circulation, maybe thin the plant a little bit if needed, get a little more sunlight on there, make sure that the irrigation is not keeping the plant leaves wet. That will all help. 9 bark is just prone to powdery mildew. If it is a problem every year, you need to start treating before you see it, and you would use a fungicide on that.
By the way, the text number is 81807, or the phone number is 651-989-9226. Texter says this: the leaves on my tomato plants burned in the hot sun. Do I need to replace them?
No, just take off the leaves. If the plant will probably grow new leaves, it'll just be a little stressed. And that's a good reason to make sure you're hardening off your plants before you're taking them out of the greenhouse where they've been babied and you're throwing them into the vicious outdoor world. You need to acclimate them being out there, and all of a sudden this bright sun is too much for them. So do acclimate your plants. They should recover. Just look a little bit, maybe give it a week or two. If they don't look like they're getting any new leaves, then do get some more tomato plants so you still have tomatoes this year.
Texter says this: good morning. I have two questions. One, is there any concern about using pressure-treated lumber as a border around a vegetable garden? That's the first question.
Probably not. Most of the pressure-treated lumber is not using arsenic anymore, so you're okay with that. If you are worried, just put down landscape fabric between the board and the soil, just a little row of landscape fabric, and maybe just plant a row of marigolds there right next to the border if that is a big concern of yours.
Oh, okay.
But it should not be a problem.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't think they use mm-hmm. this.
They don't use it. It's been outlawed, yeah.
Second part of it is, are used coffee grounds good to add to the same vegetable garden?
Oh, yes. Do add the coffee grounds.
Oh, really?
Mix them into the soil, or if you just want to top dress very lightly, small layer. If you put it down too thick, it does crust over and not let the water through. So, yeah, use your coffee grounds. Toss them out on the lawn. Toss them in your veggie gardens. Absolutely wonderful little organic matter, adding a little nitrogen to your soil.
Mm-hmm. Grab one more text, and then we'll get back to the phones. Should I mulch my entire vegetable garden or only certain plants? Are grass clippings okay?
Grass clippings are okay if you have not used a weed and feed product on it. Otherwise, you'll be killing your veggies too. You can mulch whatever you want. I would definitely mulch around my tomato plants as soon as I planted them. The mulch is just going to moderate the soil temperatures, keep the soil moist, keep the weeds down. And if you're mulching in between rows, it makes then you can walk on mulch instead of mud. So you mulch what you want to mulch. Grass clippings work a small layer. Make sure you aren't using chemicals on the lawn.
Good idea. Bev in Minneapolis is next on the phone. Bev, you're on CCO with Teresa.
Hey, Bev.
Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
When is the right time to prune a magnolia tree?
Oh, that's a trick one. I would prune it right after it blooms, within 3 weeks after it blooms. Most of our spring and blooming plants
Be a good time then.
Now would be good. I think you're just coming to the end of it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. And then I have a solution for the lady with the slugs maybe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mayonnaise jar of beer underneath there at night.
Yep.
You go out and look at it in the morning. You have a lid full of dead snails.
Mm-hmm. It works.
Yeah, it does. Yep. But like you said, don't use the good stuff.
Don't use the good stuff. Drink the good stuff.
All right. Very good. Thanks, Bev.
Thanks, Bev.
Appreciate that. Let's see who else has been waiting in the wings. It would be Jeff in Minneapolis. Good morning, Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. Say, we mowed our grass yesterday, and
yes.
Then I'm just heading out this morning, and I noticed we have about a 20-year-old maple tree.
Yep.
And I noticed there were a lot of leaves on the ground, and we've never noticed this before. It's never happened. And I'm looking at the leaves, and they have they almost look like black, like acid, like burns on the leaf. They're irregular, like kind of in a petri dish, a little. But they're not fuzzy. They're not like a mold thing. But and even like little trails, like a liquid was on the leaves, and there's something.
Looks like somebody threw tar at the leaves.
Oh, a little bit, yeah.
Yep, it's called tar spot.
Tar spots.
Yep, it's nothing really to worry about. You can look it up on the extension site. It's probably tar spot, though, and it's not really a big thing to worry about. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What is that extension site again?
www.extension.umn.edu. If you can't remember that, go to your friend Google and just punch in tar spot UMN, University of Minnesota.
Take you right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
651-989-9226. I see one line is open. Jerry is calling from Hudson with a question. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, Jerry.
Good morning. Hi. For a number of years, I've had a problem with, I believe it's centipedes or millipedes. They're a little over an inch long and rust brown color.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep coming up to the house and around the foundation.
Yep.
I have just hundreds of dead ones, and if you go out there in the evenings and as it gets later into the summer, they come in by the hundreds and by the thousands. I mean,
That's not fun.
They walk over everything. Everything I put down to kill them.
Yep. You may want to try some of the barrier things. I was going to say some of the granular should work as long as they list centipedes or millipedes on their label. The barrier ones, the granulars, should work as a barrier around your house. Pull back the mulch a little bit from around the house so you have maybe about a foot of just bare soil, and then apply the insecticide in that area. They do like the moistness of the mulch, so they do need that moistness to survive. They're a good part of our landscape, but in big numbers, they're not fun.
Yeah.
So I would try that. Yeah. And those centipedes move fast, and they're kind of scary All those legs. Yeah, they're kind of freaky. So I usually catch them and put them back outside again because I just don't want them in the house. But but if they're outside, they're eating a lot of other bugs and things like
That's true.
So they're very, very good in that respect, but you don't want them in the house. They can't live that long in the house. They need moisture. Do move the mulch, though, away from the house. That will probably help a little bit dry out that area.
Dexter says, have black knot on a Canadian choke cherry tree. Cut the galls off last winter. I saw more galls forming and have cut them off. Is this a losing battle?
It really depends on how far it's gotten. You need to make sure every time you do the cut, you're pruning back to good wood, which at least like a foot away from the black knot that you're seeing toward the good knot, or toward the good wood. And then after each cut, you are disinfecting your cutter. Otherwise, you could be moving it from one area of the plant to another. So,
all right, I'll tell you what. Let's take one more call before we take a quick break. Patty is calling from Minneapolis with a question. Hi, Patty.
Hi, Patty.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I have a little bug that I had last year in my garden, and it was mainly on my mint, and I didn't really care much because I have mint everywhere.
Yep.
But now it's gone to the Russian sage and some of the flowers, and it just makes little black spots on the leaves.
Mm-hmm.
It's bigger than a pencil. I've brought it, the bug, to a garden center and a couple of gardening, mm-hmm. you know, my gardening experts that I go to. I yep. went to your website. Yep. I couldn't find a picture of it. It's kind of red.
Yep. It's because it's a trick bug. It's called a four-lined plant bug. Right now, the little red nymphs are out there running around like crazy. They does look like somebody took a little marker and just put dots all over your plant. Sometimes those dots merge. In a few months, those bugs will get big enough. They'll be long and oval-shaped, yellow and black stripes, four lines, yellow and black, four line. They'll kind of look like cucumber beetles. You can use insecticidal soap on them. They're really fast. It's really hard to use them. Some people just use the clap method, where they're usually at the top of the plant where all the fresh growth is. They just take their hands and they clap on them and squish them. You can do that. And those are called four-line plant bugs. They like mint and they like chrysanthemums, Russian sage, rhubarb, things like that. Your plants normally outgrow the damage.
All right. Teresa, we need to take a break. We'll be right back in a moment or two with more calls and more text messages just a moment. It's 77 degrees right now, heading for around 89 today.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Danny Long here with Teresa Rooney from our pool of experts here. Teresa joins us from time to time. Who else we have? Mary Meyer.
Mary.
And Julie Weisenhorn.
And Sam Bauer.
And Sam Bauer.
Yeah.
By the way, Teresa is a master gardener who's going to give us the website again for the U of M.
Extension.umn.edu.
Excellent. And I also want to ask you, when again is that garden tour?
Our garden tour for Hennepin County is July 8th.
And how do we find out more about that?
Go to our Hennepin County Master Gardener website, and you can get tickets and everything. And the tickets are less expensive than if you buy them at the door,
Good.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So to speak.
At the garden.
Yeah. All right, let's go back to the phones. Folks have been waiting. Ron in Shoreview is first up here. Thank you, Ron.
Hey, Ron.
Hey, my neighbor's got a huge female cottonwood tree that's especially productive this year.
Oh, yes.
I was doing some reading, and they say you can spray them with a fruit eliminator or something called Ethafon that breaks down ethylene so that it doesn't produce the stuff. But this tree is 80 feet tall. You got to spray it.
No,
you couldn't actually have that done, could you?
You probably could find a landscaper that would do it for you. It would probably be really expensive. But it's a possibility, and if it works on cottonwood trees, I'm more familiar with it on fruiting trees, so I'm not sure how it would work on cottonwood. But if cottonwood is something it would treat, you can do it. It's a not obviously this year, it's too late, but for next year, it's something to consider about. It also was, just because we had a stressful winter, sometimes trees produce a lot of fruit and seeds the next year because they were stressed the year before, and it's a reaction to stress to propagate the species in case they kick the bucket this year. That's probably not the case with this tree, but it could be. But yeah, the cottonwoods are quite cottony this year.
They are, yes. For sure. Gretchen is calling from Mendota Heights. Gretchen, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Hi, Gretchen.
Well, good morning to you. Thanks for taking my call. I have a star jasmine. I have it located right next to my front door on the porch. It requires 6 hours of sun. I water it when necessary. I have the directions. But what they don't say is anything about pruning.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of flowers on it when I purchased it, but now they're turning brown. Is it okay to clip those off?
Go ahead and clip those off and prune it as you need to keep it in bounds so it doesn't get, really huge. Go ahead and prune it as you need to. Mm-hmm. Yep, you can clip those dead flowers off.
Oh, very good. Texter says this, what's the best way to get rid of Japanese beetles when they bloom up again?
I would go to the Extension website and look up Japanese beetles. There's a fascinating four-page article on it. But what you need to do is figure out where you saw the Japanese beetles last year and about when you saw them. Go out there a week earlier and patrol every morning with a bucket of soapy water. And as soon as you see a Japanese beetle, you flick it into the soapy water. They emit a pheromone, which attracts more Japanese beetles. So if you can get those early populations down, you can then lower those pheromones and fewer come to your yard. So if you hit the populations early, that really helps. Insecticides aren't that effective on them. They have their body is made that they're a little tougher to get the insecticide on. Plus, they move really fast. So get out there in the morning when they're slow and sluggish and toss them into soapy water and watch them drown.
We have 60 seconds to go or less. A texter says, a lawn watering question. My husband thinks watering the grass every other day for 10 to 20 minutes is good. I think we should water less often for longer periods of time.
Depends on your soil. Irregular watering and watering deep is much better. Go to the extension website, umn.edu. Sam has some really good articles on it.
Yeah, Sam Bauer.
Sam Bauer.
Is our turf guru.
He's amazing.
Yes. Well, Teresa, it was good to see you.
It was great to see you, and all your listeners are wonderful.
Well, you help us out all the time here on our Smart Garden Show. Now, again, as we head out of here, if you haven't checked out the University of Minnesota website, it really is a great resource. And that website is?
Extension.umn.edu. Happy gardening.
Extension.umn.edu. Check it out. You'll learn so much.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintainx.com/AI.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it is refreshing!
Bringing a data center online takes more than equipment. It takes precision. Graybar helps customers predict, stage, schedule, deliver, and verify every step of the build with critical products that are available now. From networking and wireless to critical power and testing tools, our teams help you reduce downtime risk and keep projects on track. Speed. Scale. Ready now. Yep. Graybar does that.